Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, SPC Nation. Before we get into today's episode of the Second Print Comics Podcast, I gotta stop you for 1 second and tell you to head over to our brand new sponsor's website. The website is foxandsons.com, F-O-X, the letter N, S-O-N-S.com. What do? They make fantastic coffee beans, and they deliver them right to your door. He doesn't make the beans, let's be honest. He sources them from amazing, incredible sources, but he gets them right to your door, I'll tell you that, and they're fantastic. I get these 2-pound bags delivered to my house every single month, and right now Steven is offering a special deal, $4 off any subscription to these 2-pound bags, or you can use a little SBC discount. For any order over $25, you'll get a 15% discount by using discount code SECONDPRINTPOD. You gotta spell it all out, that Second Print Pod, to get yourself 15% off your order over at foxandsons.com. Check it out. You know, this podcast, especially for patrons of the show, only took me 3 seconds to mention Patreon, patreon.com/secondprintpod. They get to see me do these shows live. And this has really just turned into, this entire podcast is based around me trying to perfectly time nailing, playing the intro to the show at the exact same second that we go live on YouTube. I don't think I got it yet, but I was pretty darn close, Rumzo.
Pretty darn close, Mark.
You could even say I just need to be a little faster, which is the segue into today's conversation, where we're going to talk about the recent Flash film. Now, people that are in our Second Print Comics fan zone, it's our exclusive Facebook group for those who are patrons of the program and assorted friends of the show, let's just say. Again, patreon.com/secondprintpod. I'm not going to plug too much more, though. I'm going to leave the rest to Rumzo.
I will plug a little bit, if I may.
All right, plug away.
I want to go ahead and just say the best part about the show is the community that we've been able to foster. And I know a lot of people go ahead and talk about what was wrong with my camera.
No, I was just announcing that I'm going to eat soup while you.
Oh, yeah. Ignore
this. This is the show now. It used to be I used to meticulously edit these audio shows, like take out the little breaths, the ums, the ahs. And now I eat soup. This is how far we've come.
Well, you see, folks, you just got to be with us in the moment for stuff like this. We're regular people. We're men of the people. Speaking of men of the people, the fantastic community that we've been able to foster over at the Second Print Comics is probably my favorite part of this whole experience in our podcast comic business journey. And recently, I was raising money for cancer research and to provide aid to cancer family, to cancer victims and their families, for an organization called Tap Out Cancer. It's a jujitsu-based cancer-focused nonprofit where they raise awareness and funds for all those things through jujitsu tournaments. So I will actually be competing in my first Brazilian jujitsu tournament in October 14th, and I had kind of a lofty goal. Earlier in the spring, I tried raising money for lung cancer. I did a stair climb for that. That was really successful. Many of you helped. But then a lot of you came out again and helped me raise $1,300 in 5 days for this fundraising campaign. And that was a lot of money really fast. I have fundraised and crowdfunded for a number of things across the years, but I have never raised this much money this fast. And a majority of it came from you. So I am just incredibly thankful that not only a lot of you support this show, but you've learned to trust us. You've learned a little bit about our lives. You've become friends of ours, and you're helping us in these endeavors. So I want to go ahead and do something special because I want to grow the pack, because all this costs work. All of this takes a bit of effort. For the next, I'm going to say until July 31st. So for the throughout the entire summer, throughout the next month, here's what I'm going to do as a special offer. We have about 30 or so limited edition Second Print Comics posters I printed a year ago. Now, typically, those autographed posters signed by either Mark or I, they are only available for people that sign up at our Epic Crossover level of $25 a month. That's where you get all the stuff, all the bonus shows, or live shows like this, graphic novels mailed every 3 months and more. And typically you get that as a one-time, you know, like thank you thing. What I'm going to do to thank you, to kind of grow the herd, if you will, is if you join at the $5 level or more, not only are you going to get one of those signed posters to go ahead and let people know that you know the most two awesome dudes in the universe, but I'm going to take $5 out of my pocket and I'm going to go ahead and make a donation to the Gary Sinise Foundation. It's a veterans charity that is very near and dear to my heart. It provides assistance and entertainment and support to veterans and military families. So you go ahead and sign up at the $5 level today through July 31st. So end of July. You will get one of those autographed posters, and I will personally, out of my own pocket, donate $5 to the Gary Sinise Foundation. So go ahead and take advantage of that. You can feel good in the process and be part of this awesome, awesome, awesome comic-based family that we've created at patreon.com/secondprintpod.
Remzo, that was beautiful. You did it all. You tugged at the heartstrings. You know, you built it up with, talking about this charity for cancer. So at the end of the day, what are they going to say no to you now? Yeah, I like
that. A horrible person will do that.
Now they're literally denying children joy if they don't join Second Print Pod.
What type of people are Patreon? That? Not so, these yeah, people. Not our people. Listeners. Not our audience.
No, but our Patreon is awesome. And 2 minutes after I said I'm not going to plug anymore, but it's really become, I like to call it like the SPC book club at this point. You know, we talk about the different books that we read. We actually send physical books to our Epic, not our Epic crossover level.
Epic crossover level.
Well, I get them all confused because there's so many. You can see them all at patreon.com/secondprintpod. And if that weren't enough, you get all sorts of bonus content, including my current project. I'm about to wrap up my Case of the Runs, Jeff Johns JSA, but I've already started a new project because I just can't get enough. Remzo,
just can't get enough.
Thunderstrike. What do you think so far?
It's more entertaining listening to you go through it than it is actually reading those.
That sounds about right. Well, that's what I'm going for, because I'm not really asking anyone to read the books. I'm just asking them to listen to me talk about having read the books that are in my personal collection. Again, Marvel is apparently ashamed of these issues. As I've mentioned, they don't have any issues of Thunderstrike except for Thunderstrike number one and some other Thunderstrike from 2013 that I don't want to know what's going on there. I'm not even going to look at that. But only here, behind those paywalls at the SPC, can you get a breakdown of each issue that I have in my physical collection. They cannot be taken away from me. And they never will be. All right. Someday, my great-great-grandkids are going to be sitting on a pile of Thunderstrike comics and maybe some SBC signed SBC posters, and they're going to thank me for building this empire for them.
You're welcome, future people.
You're welcome. That being said, this is all just as I was trying to segue into a conversation about speed, because we're talking about The Flash today, the Flash film. And as I was about to say, before we had to talk about kids with cancer and giving us money and all this stuff, was that our people that are in that Second Print fan zone, they already got a preview. They got Remzo's review. Actually, our patrons got Remzo's review. You did that as a Patreon, did you not?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Like a near 30-minute, dare I say, a rant about Remzo's opinions on
this
film.
That's one of the longest rants I think I've ever recorded.
I think it's literally the longest Remzo rant in existence. So I don't think, I think it's safe to say you did not enjoy this film.
That's a very safe assessment.
I kind of pulled it back in a little bit and said, like, you know, Remzo's losing his mind. Not that I think the film is good, because I did see the film, and I'm not even gonna really refute any of your points. I'm just comparing it. I think for you,
I'll summarize it for you, Mark. I'll save you some time. I'll save everyone some time. Five words. Five words is all you need. I fucking hate this movie. That's the clip. That's the cold open.
I'm curious, how much do you think is because of the expectations that were, you know, put out by DC, that were put out by James Gunn, that were put out by, I mean, instead of, because they couldn't really send them around to promote this film, they did some interesting things, like they had Steven Spielberg go watch the film and say nice things about the film. So like that was their marketing, and having James Gunn be like, you know what, this is a really great superhero movie. So do you think that your how much you did dislike. No, I'll use your words. How much you hated the film. No, I'll use your words. How much you fucking hated this film. How much of that is due to the expectations that DC was putting out there, that Warner Brothers was putting out there as like this revolutionary sort of superhero movie?
As I mentioned in the 30-minute epic rant of a lifetime, I really kind of had to divide this movie into three parts. One, what was the story? Two, how was the quality of the whole thing as it kind of fits into the DCEU? And third, the marketing aspect of it. Was that a factor in it? Absolutely. I think I definitely cannot say that without the outright lies that came out from Warner Brothers about this movie, that wouldn't have played a factor in it. I would already say it was a bad movie, but the fact that they have just deceived us, like blatantly lied. Like I have never, this
what's
is
a lie?
Like,
tell me a lie about the movie.
It was the greatest superhero movie ever.
Well, that's an opinion.
Ezra Miller is a good actor. No.
I don't think anyone has ever said Ezra Miller is a good actor.
Not defend these people.
Even Warner Brothers is not. I'm not. I'm just trying to play the foil to your random. But go on.
Well, now what's funny is I went on Facebook and I was scrolling before the show and I saw that now they're trying to market this as a low key horror film. And I'm like, the amount of things that they have tried to do to resuscitate this movie, it is so embarrassing that in its second week, it has already been dethroned by a movie that came out a month ago, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. They marketed it as something that was going to be this epic game changer. You don't really feel that. You really don't feel that without having to tell you what's coming after. If we didn't hear about the DCU slate and the whole James Gunn reboot after this, you don't get that from this movie. People expecting Flashpoint, you're not getting Flashpoint. You're not even getting the Flashpoint Paradox animated film, which is a far superior movie. I would say that how they did Flashpoint in the Grant Gustin television series, The Flash, was better than this. This was bad on all levels. Story, CGI, continuity, acting. I thought that Ben Affleck and Michael Keaton in that like 8 minutes combined that they're in this movie were the best parts of this movie. And not even two Batmen can save this movie. Fuck it, let's spoil it. Three Batmen, because they bring in George Clooney, of all people, at the end. Not even
I feel like I should put a
Batman
disclaimer on
this
podcast to make sure that people know there's a spoiler coming in the beginning. But we'll
if
see.
You jumped in here thinking we were going to avoid all that shit, that's a you problem, people.
That's true. That's true.
But I was bored. I was actively looking at my watch throughout the movie. And what's really a sign is that my wife, she doesn't pay too much attention to like the universes. In fact, after we watched this, she was like, I'm kind of tired of the universes. I just want to watch a movie and just understand stuff. But like,
the movie itself, not all these things it's connected to,
which I get because she represents a majority of people that are just passive moviegoers, not like us. But she was just like, I'm bored. I don't like Ezra Miller. This movie looked choppy and the CGI made everyone look like Play-Doh. This was a bad movie. This was offensively bad.
Now, I'll say I wasn't sure at first about the CGI because without revealing too much, Remzo, let's just say I did not watch this in a theater. So I found another method. Let's put it that way. I will say no more. So I didn't know how much of
here's
the CGI...
a clue, people. We bought a game stick to play video games recently. Yeah, that's all you need to know.
And that's from China. So these are the kind of people we are. And that has 600 very unlicensed games. So anyway. So yeah, there's some somewhat similar.
Derek
means.
And I did a game stick review that's coming out this Sunday. Just putting that out there.
Good. I can't wait for that. It probably emanated from the same region of the world. Probably that way. So I didn't know how much of the CGI was just the translation of that, but from what I hear, that was properly translated. It was properly looked really, really like dog shit, which is it's a trend in all these superhero movies, and I think it's a number of factors. It's actually something we touched on in my conversation with Chris Knowles, my wild conversation with Chris Knowles that
was all over the place.
it was something else. Wild. Let's put it that way. But it's our most popular YouTube video right now. So if you missed my conversation with Chris Knowles talking about the somewhat dark origins of superheroes, go check that out on our new segment. We got three now that we can rotate in. We got SPC Pop, which you're listening to right now or watching right now, where we pop you with some pop culture and whatnot. course, reissued, where we go look at old comic issues, which we'll be doing with our friend Eric, our patron next week, our Kirby Club level patron next week. And we have now SPC Talk, where we will be mixing in some interviews now and again. So if you have people you think that we should interview, let us know. We also did Matt Battaglia, I'd say would be the first like unofficial edition of that. And Eric July. Eric July was almost a year ago we talked to. So we've been around the block, I guess.
Been around a bit.
Anyway, the point being, yeah, he was saying like how these effects departments are so fucking taxed and overtaxed. And I think this is somewhat related to the fact that there is probably, I'm assuming, less and less skilled human beings that do this stuff as things go on, as they rely more and more on like AI, on like recreating scenes, on copying and pasting scenes, to just get around the fact that when you do hire humans to do this, they are very expensive and they make a lot of overtime and they cost a shit ton of money. And now all these studios like Marvel is just moving effects team from project to project. Oh yeah, just wrap up She-Hulk. Don't even use animation in the last, fuck it. You move on to Ant-Man. Oh, you know, and you see it in the quality. You see,
man, they used Midjourney for the opening credits for Secret Invasion.
Like they literally did?
They literally did. And it was good. Like, it was good. But when I found out that they used the app for that, I was like, I don't know whether to be impressed or horrified that the largest telecommunications company in the world, Disney, their telecom company, has to do that.
Do they have to, or do they get a better product and pay less money? So there you go. The market, I suppose, is at work here.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it looked better than, well, I will say, of as far as opening animation, opening, like, Disney does those pretty well. I was going to knock on She-Hulk, which She-Hulk deserves to be knocked on as a show. I didn't hate the opening animations of that or Ms. Marvel. Actually, those might have been the best parts of the show. They were kind of inventive and interesting. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. What is here and there and everywhere else is this film, Remso. Now, I had seen this film after hearing your rant about it. So, you know, I think I knew you had ranted about it and knew you hated it, but I waited to listen till afterwards. I think that's what it was, because I didn't want to spoil myself, because we all know you spoil movies for yourself so that anyone listening to you will in turn.
I am my own worst enemy.
Yes, indeed. So I did, but I knew there was going to be something at the end of this movie. I just didn't know what it was going to be. And I just wanted to be surprised by that one thing that you already spoiled for anyone that is watching this. I would say if you haven't seen it by now, you don't care, right? I think that's fair.
You're not going to watch it if you haven't seen it by now.
I think that's fair. Or you'll use nefarious means like I may or may not have. So the film itself, here are the problems with the film itself. I was going to try to think of some positives and then I'm just going to brush by it. I was ready for it to be worse. So I think maybe this is where it's the battle of expectations here. Cause I didn't really believe the hype. I knew that was hype. So I wasn't taking James Gunn's and Steven Spielberg's words at account here. So that being said though, I only think it was slightly better than how much you hated it. That I just think my point is I've seen worse movies from DC. All right. That's kind of my point. I would rather watch this than Birds of Prey. Maybe I wouldn't, because what's her name's in it. And
I'd rather watch Birds of Prey more than this. At least Birds of Prey had a story that was succinct to the point. It didn't oversell and underdeliver. It was just what it was.
Let's see how Blue Beetle and Aquaman 2 are this year before we
cast judgment. I'm going to say it now. I'm not going to watch Blue Beetle.
In protest?
I will watch on HBO Max.
What about through nefarious means?
I'll wait a month until... The Flash has only been out for 2 weeks, and they already said that mid-July they're going to go ahead and put it out on... end of July they're going to go ahead and put it out on streaming services.
Wow.
Like, that's how much faith they have that this will recoup money. And why should I feel that Blue Beetle will be any different? I don't even think that Aquaman will be any different. I'm tired of feeding these people. Let's just talk about the numbers, Mark. It took them, they say it took $300 million to do this movie. Enough reports have actually indicated that this probably cost them $500 million. This will barely
make...
They're
not going to make that back.
No, they're not. They will barely make $150 million back.
Even if we include what they'll get from the international markets, is that
even what they will
that?
Get from the international markets? They have China, they'll have the Middle East, they will make that up, but I don't think they're going to want to show up for their own reasons. I don't think they're going to want to show up because I think they're going to basically be like, we're not going to support Ezra Miller. So I think they will avoid it because of that. I think everyone else will avoid it because no one really wants to see this movie. And that's really sad. And I mean, it's just for a film that costs this much money, for a film that has been production for nearly a decade, you talked about this with Chris, for something that should have been a slam dunk, a paint by the numbers box office smash, it should have been so much better. And in May, I did a Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 review on Patreon with Caleb Franz, and I made a prediction to Caleb, which has turned out to be incorrect. I said that as soon as The Flash came out in theaters, this would become the best, not only the best box office success of the summer, but this would be the highest grossing movie of the year. I could not be more wrong with that. I could not be more wrong with that because I just didn't believe that they could fuck this up so badly. And they never admit to it either. With the CGI, they said, well, that's just how the Flash sees the world. So you see it through his view.
Oh, God,
that's what they said.
Because everything's moving so fast, so it has to be blurry,
yes,
or something.
That's what they said. They literally said that. The Andy Bashitti or whatever his name is, the director, actually said
I'm
that
actually
the
impressed
audience,
by that lie. That, to be honest,
that's like Joe Biden levels of bullshit. That is just like one of the most ridiculous lies you could slap the audience with. At least Sony, who puts out shitty movies and is like, you want more? At least with them, with Beyond the Spider-Verse, which was supposed to come out in May of 2024, they put out a statement today at the time of recording, basically saying it's going to cost too much money and it's going to require more man hours than we can do. We're going to push the movie to 2026. Am I upset about that?
They pushed it that far back?
They pushed it that far back. Am I upset about that? Yes, but not in the sense of, oh, they should just put it out and let it be. No, at least they're putting a good product out. At least we know that when we go to see that third Across the Spider-Verse film, I'm sorry, a third Beyond the Spider-Verse film, it's going to be good. They're basically saying, hey, listen, it's not ready, and we're not going to put it out until it's ready.
They're not just going to put the whole squad on overtime for a few days and say, just wrap it up.
They can't have Mid-Journey do everything like Disney's doing.
All right, send the rest to the AI.
But it's just, you know, they've insulted and taken for granted the customer for so long, and especially in the post-lockdown era where movie theaters need people now more than ever to put this out. Is insulting. We should not feed these people. And beyond that, Ezra Miller is a criminal. He should not be celebrated. I felt bad that I helped make him rich, but I hope that if this film does one thing, it destroys his career. And if you want to hear more about that, my wife did all the freaking research about his father and Disney and Epstein Island and all that
weird stuff. There's weird stuff.
Yeah. Like this is just, this movie needed to fail. I will say that it needed to fail. And it is.
All right. Maybe we should talk a little bit about the movie itself. Or maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe this is enough.
Did you like Ezra Miller's performance as Barry Allen?
No. No, Grant Gustin is a way better Flash. I mean, yeah, honestly, the best portrayal of the Flash ever on screen in any way. I guess the problem too is this version of the Flash is like, is fine as a sidekick character, is fine as like the goofy sort of, you know, the goofy counterbalance to, like, I didn't hate him as much in, say, Zack Snyder's Justice League, where he's kind of comedy relief. He ends up serving a very important role that they do reference in this movie. But he's not the lead of the movie. But making him this character as the lead of a movie does not work. It does not work. He's not a leader. He does not feel like a protagonist in any way. And it's not like the character develops to that point. We see a semblance of character development, I guess, when he sort of lets go of the idea of fixing everything. But does he really? Because he still goes back and changes a thing to sort of fix everything. So it's like, did you even really learn the lesson? So since we're already spoiling the whole movie, why don't we just skip right to the end? Because Barry Allen had basically gone, he talked to Ben Affleck, Batman. And he's like, dude, I can just go back and, you know, save my mom. Oh, here's something that really annoyed me, which they would that in the end that there is no, I'm not saying they had to do a reverse Flash storyline. That might have been too much to cram into here. And they kind of do like a Savitar type thing. Anyway, I'm not saying they had to do that to explain the murder of his mother, but we never even make that a mystery at all. It's just like, it doesn't matter. It's just some random guy. Like, it has, you think it's going to tie into the story, or he's going to go and actually stop the murderer. Why doesn't he go back in time and stop the murder and find out who the murderer is? Like, go see who the fucking murderer is. Like, you still don't know. You still don't even know who this guy is. And instead, you're going to just change. So instead, after learning all the lessons of how changing time fucks things up, which he did learn throughout this film by creating the Flashpoint universe, and then his younger version of himself starts to learn that in this weird ending sequence that we can talk about in a minute. But I'm skipping all the way to the end. He basically learns the lesson. I can't go changing this shit. So he goes back to the moment in the grocery store where originally he had come in and taken the tomatoes, because originally the reason his dad wasn't home to stop the murder of his mom is that she forgot tomatoes at the store. So instead he stops her from forgetting the tomatoes, which means that, but that doesn't stop the murder. That's what I don't get. It doesn't stop the guy from coming to the house. So in this reality, did Barry Allen's dad fight a murderer and kill that guy? And then that didn't affect their lives at all?
That's the thing. Like, I tried to really look through a lot of the big chunks of this movie that progress the story. And this is not an exaggeration. This feels like five attempts of different scripts all kind of placated together. And you see this through all the different hands that went into this film, because this film went through like six directors. I forget his name, but like whoever was the first director tied to it, very action heavy. That guy totally did the introduction with Batman and everything. And then you have the people that tried to make it more comedy, and that's like the first chunk of the movie. And then you have the rest, which is just haphazard and lazy. And it is a victim of its own lack of continuity that it doesn't even attempt to do that. And this isn't just over analyzing it. This is insulting basic moviegoers. There were like five dudes sitting.
Is it as insulting as me eating instant lunch in the middle of a podcast? Because that's what I'm doing.
I mean, this is just the nature of things. When you talk Flash, you get hungry. Exactly. And that was another
just
thing
like too. Barry Allen, my man.
That was another thing too. Like, they try and set up all these things that should be a thing that you pay attention to throughout the movie. Like, you know, the fact that if he doesn't have constant calories, he's going to like die or something. And it's like they completely leave that alone.
Which should have factored into that last scene where he's just going back and going back and going back and not stopping.
He should be like burning up.
Exactly. And they don't. And they, again, that's what's also, I guess that's what frustrated me the most about it. There are elements that could be a good movie here, but then they don't follow up on them. They don't connect them. Of course, no matter what, you were going to have Ezra Miller, and so that was going to taint the whole thing. My biggest disappointment, I didn't even finish saying what really happened in the last scene there, though. He moves the tomato sauce originally. You know, that's what starts the whole Flashpoint thing.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, I can't go fixing stuff. I'm not gonna move the tomato sauce so that my mom is still going to go get killed. So he still lets his mom get killed now. But now he moves the tomatoes higher up so that when his dad goes back to get the tomatoes, the security camera sees him, which gives him the alibi. So his dad gets off for the murder. So he still changed reality. And we saw that when all he did was move tomato cans, it changed everything about reality. There's no Superman. There's all this. Everything's different. Michael Keaton's in this universe. All this stuff is going on. That's from moving the tomato. That's from like putting the tomato can in his mom's basket. So that was bad. But then he still decides, after all this, all these lessons, including the younger Barry essentially turning into a Savitar version. He was Savitar in the Flash TV show by trying to go back and basically turning into that original bad Flash, that more evil version, that which is the one that sort of knocked Barry into this Flashpoint universe in the first place at that point in time. Does that sound confusing? Because it is. And they don't really explain it very well at all. They kind of make you piece it together. I think I can only piece it together better because I saw the Flash show where they actually did explain this very well. So I go, oh, they're doing Savitar. Except they don't really explain it. They just kind of show you an older, you know, evil Barry Allen. And you're supposed to go that have that aha moment or what have you. And what he ends up doing is just getting it so when we come back at the end of the movie, we learn that the surveillance camera, which was, by the way, they also captured by like Wayne camera technologies or something like that. So there's some weird implication that like Bruce Wayne is still trying to help him, even though there's a, we find out later it's a new Bruce Wayne. I don't know. It's not supposed to make sense, I don't think. But it's like all of this thing where he sees the younger version of himself become this evil Flash by going through time so much that he loses his fucking mind, trying to fix things. And then he still, at the end of the movie, didn't actually learn the lesson because he still moved these fucking tomato cans to try. Like, what makes him think that one move is going to be fine, that where the other move caused this whole movie to take place?
You know, one thing that also
just kind of irked me, like this kind of grinded my gears. It's like, He really grinds my gears. He's not very heroic. And my the one thing that bothered me, like at like a weird level, is the fact that he steals a lot throughout the movie. Like he just like blatantly steals. He steals people's food. He will sneak the beer, clothes. Like
how are these heroic things? Because they're petty crimes?
It's like he just steals throughout. And I get that it's meant to, you know, be a gag or to put tape on things, but it's like he's not a good person. He's just really not. And even
outside of the movie,
and like take Zack Snyder's Justice League out of it. Let's stick with the bed that Warner Brothers shit in during Walter Hamada. In the Justice League movie, the Flash is even a coward, even when he goes and like saves that Russian family and shit. If you take that as the canon that they have said it is, as the canon Justice League film, and take it into this, he is the least heroic person on screen. Deadpool has more heroic qualities than the Flash. Think about that in terms of on-screen heroes. Yeah, different universe. Yeah, different genre. Yeah, all this other stuff. But the Flash is supposed to be a good, virtuous person. Barry Allen is a tech for a police department. Like, he's a good, moral person. You don't get that from Barry ever. If anything, he comes off as kind of a fucking psycho. And he's just like, it's just he's not good. He's not a good person. He's selfish. He's not a hero. I do not like him. He does things almost out of sheer obligation. And you get that at the beginning of the film when he makes that Justice League comment where he's like, you know, I really feel like the Justice League's janitor. It's like, dude, what you're doing is important. What you're doing is heroic. You know, he saves all those children. And then he takes a moment to make a quip about the Justice League not providing therapists for people. It's like, you're a shitty hero.
All right.
I think that DC has done themselves a disservice, and it's ironic that it would come both in forms of the Flash, because Flashpoint, the story in the comics, which we have said on this show, is one of the best comic book stories ever written, especially probably the best for DC, dare I say. It would become undone and undo the legacy of the Flash in his own movie. That's sad.
Let's talk about the one thing that I was looking forward to, and well, we can kind of encompass it in a broader character. Let's encompass it all in a broader category, which I think this film and the marketing especially were trying their...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Damnedest to position everything towards, and that is nostalgia. And I'm a big fan of nostalgia. I like nostalgia when done right. And I was looking forward to Michael Keaton in this movie. I got to say, that is my biggest gripe with the movie. I mean, everything you said is true. But I was like, well, at least they're going to give us some great Michael Keaton. And this is not a comment against Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton was great in the movie. I don't like how they portrayed his character as this disheveled, like, long-haired, like, Batman that had to be, like, brought out of retirement.
They Luke Skywalkered him.
That is a great way to put it. They totally took away from what his character is. And yes, they bring him back, and then he cuts his hair, and he's the good old Batman we know for a very short amount of time, as you mentioned. It's kind of a small part of the film. I mean, it ends up leading to the end, but before you know it, spoiler alert again, how fast do we learn that not only is Michael Keaton Batman not special, neither is this Supergirl is not special, because they both die immediately in the battle scene, which is what causes the younger Flash to go back in time. Well, first they both do it, to go back in time to try to fix that. Then they keep going back. And this is what leads to sort of the end of the movie where he's just trying to chase going back in time. Zod just kicks both their asses. Supergirl couldn't seem less special. She does very little and then gets killed. And then we see her get killed again. Like every time they try to go back, like, maybe the lesson, Supergirl's not very powerful and we should have had Superman. Maybe that's the fucking lesson here.
That is actually the lesson. If anything, it is a weird side note. If it is a weird side note, they remind you that Superman is important.
Yeah, right.
And it's so weird because they do that while constantly insulting Henry Cavill.
It's a weird conglomeration of things, like of different, because like you said, this movie was different things at different points. At first, it was just a Flash movie, you know, and then it was, well, it's the culmination of like some things that were coming off of Zack Snyder's Justice League and whatnot. And then it was, well, now it's this reboot of the universe, which it's really not even either, because when Barry reboots things or whatever, and he does the one change and his father gets off, and he, like you said earlier, Batman calls, he's like, oh, Batman's here. Cool. And it's fucking, actually my favorite scene in the movie was Clooney a little bit showing up. Because I did kind of pop for it, just because I was actually surprised. I wasn't expecting Clooney. That did get me. Although he was kind of the logical one that made sense, I guess, because Val Kilmer can't talk. So maybe I should have known. But
Christian Bale said, because they wanted him originally, and
that's
they
what
lobbied,
I was kind of hoping.
They lobbied Bale for years, and he like, and they wrote the script and showed it to him where he did it, and he basically said no. His thing, it's disingenuous to the character, and it's not going to help the movie.
Well,
because he saw it as, you're only bringing me in to help this movie. It doesn't actually help it.
Yeah, it's just a cheap pop at the end. It's not an important part of the movie. You know,
he's a serious actor, though, which is funny because he did Thor: Love and Thunder. But
I did like where he sees George Clooney and he goes, "What the fuck?" Like, I thought that was pretty funny. Like, this is like a PG-13 movie. You're not expecting that. And he just goes, "What the fuck? Who the fuck are you?" And he also goes, like, "You're not Batman." He's like, yeah, I know, I'm not Batman. He's like, hello, like, I'm supposed to have a secret identity. Like, no, I'm not Batman. Thanks for clarifying. I did enjoy that interaction, the last literally 30 seconds of the movie. Everything else, like, I could have done without. But we got to discuss this other scene. This other scene where Barry's in the fucking, I don't know, in the multiverse fucking
flash
station,
zone.
The flash zone, the fucking mob zone. I don't know what you want to fucking call it. He's there in the sort of a crossway of the multiverse. And for some reason, they don't really explain this at all either. He's just seeing other universes. And he's like, we, the viewer, are zooming in on certain aspects. Like, why in every universe? Like, why is there like, oh, here's a universe. Well, let's look at it. There's fucking George Reeves. There he is. There's fucking Christopher Reeves. Oh, here's Nicolas Cage fighting a butt. I mean, these are like interesting things in theory, but it just felt too much like this doesn't even connect to the story at all. It's just like, hey, let's show you old Supermans and ones you've heard of. Hey, internet geeks, we're here for you. We're doing
something. They were checking so many boxes with that, because
without bothering,
and that was
to make a story out of it. That's what really annoyed me. I'm like, okay, this is theoretically cool that I'm seeing this, but hey, the actors aren't even fucking Nicolas Cage isn't in the movie. It's like CGI Nicolas Cage. So it's like, what the why? Why? Just to, I already know this movie started. I've seen the clips. I've seen the footage of Nick Cage as Superman. Like, this isn't, it's like fake nostalgia, you know, it's like forced nostalgia. And it doesn't, it's nostalgia stuff is great when it furthers the movie and when it makes sense. This doesn't make sense. This is just like, oh, by the way, we should probably throw in some cameos because we told people there was going to be cameos. So let's just show you every Superman and Batman and Adam, and let's just show you all these universes. It doesn't need to make sense. Then we'll move on.
There are amateur directors and amateur special effects artists who only do stuff for YouTube that could have created a better scene than what they spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars on. That looks like it was cut and paste, and it was just really it was probably the biggest insult in the movie, because they had been teasing a lot of that up. And for the Nick Cage part, they had spoiled that like a few months ago, and I was expecting something more. Like, I thought it was cool to see him do that, but that's another thing. Like, that's a really, really deep cut type of Easter egg,
right?
Because you have to really like be in the know. You have to know that shit about Superman Lives and Kevin Smith and Most people are just gonna be like,
why the fuck is Nicolas Cage in this? Like, what's
happening? My wife is just like, is that Nicolas Cage? I'm like, it was from a movie that didn't get made. And she's like, but why would they include something from a movie that wasn't made? And I'm like, you know what? That actually makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's just weird.
It's just supposed to show us that like everything exists in the multiverse. So then how is James Gunn trying to spin this? I mean, I guess it's because, you know, he's the head of DC and he's got to market for them. He can't just be like, we wish this didn't exist. I mean, they
at least
probably
he didn't do what they did with Shazam, where he was basically just like, yeah, that's coming out.
Yeah, that was pretty funny in his video. He was like, yeah, anyway, there's a Shazam movie. Anyway, moving on. I love The Flash. He should have said he loved Shazam. Fuck it. He's going to lie to us. I still haven't watched Shazam, but whatever. Now I kind of want to compare.
Shazam 2 was a better movie than this. And I was really shitting on Shazam 2 a couple weeks ago. I was just like, I thought DC has really hit the bottom of the barrel. It's like, no, they will go further.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know where else to go with this. I mean, I don't think we need to break down every little plot point of the movie. I think we've hit on enough points. What I really want to talk about, well, let's grade the film first, and then I want to talk about the larger scope of things. So let's just, you already graded it. I know you're graded on Patreon. Are you sticking to your grade?
I'm sticking to it. I'm giving it a 5.
A 5. All right. That's actually like average in theory, right? It's right in the middle. Average film. Pretty good. Might want to go check it out.
Do people want that for a $300 million, possibly $500 million movie, though?
You know, after this conversation with you, I think I should just cave in. And I'm because if you want to say fuck you to this movie, I think that's fair to steal from our friends at Weird
Yay,
Science.
Peer pressure.
Yeah. Fuck this movie.
Fuck this movie.
A 5 doesn't feel right, but it feels appropriate. So I'm going to give it a 5 too. You talked me down. You actually talked me down for once. I didn't think it was good, Remzo, is my point. My point was being like, I don't know, maybe it's like a 6, 6.5 type movie because it's fine. But the more I talk about it, the more I realize how nonsensical all of it is and how it doesn't even deliver on any of the things that it's advertised to deliver on. Even the cameos that we were told was really not all that impressive. I don't think there's any living human cameos. There's a dead Adam West, a CGI Nick Cage, a old footage George Reeves. Like
dead
what?
Chris Reeves, dead yeah. George Reeves.
Just a bunch of dead people. Those aren't
the
those
guy
aren't
who played The Flash is not even Teddy Sears from the TV show. It's not really? Even him.
CGI.
So they got somebody else to just be a random Golden Age Flash in that movie. He was confused by it. He's like, that's like people thought it was him, but he's like, that's not me. And when you look at his face, it's not him.
Shouldn't we have seen more flashes in the multiverse? Didn't we even
see at least one cameo?
Like, we didn't even see Grant Gustin.
Right?
We didn't even see Grant Gustin. Yeah. Like, come on. And they even did that crossover in the Crisis on Infinite Earths, which is, I will say now, I went back and watched those episodes of the CW crossover. That's a much better story than this one.
Yes.
And it's not even close. As much as there are some cheesy elements to the CW shows, and they sort of have that like teenagey vibe to a lot of them, and the CW vibe. But once you accept that, like the story itself is so much better than this. I might just go rewatch it to cleanse the palate.
I almost feel like watching Justice League Flashpoint Paradox.
Maybe I'll just go watch Snyder Cut so I can have one good memory of this DC world.
You know what I watched a few days prior? I watched Spider-Man 2 on Disney Plus.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah,
and it's like a fine wine.
And it is as good as I remember seeing it when I was just a little kid in theaters. Like it is still, each time I see that movie, I'm like, this is the quintessential superhero movie. And it's like, story used to matter.
Jeffrey has commented, I haven't seen the movie and I probably never will, but I will say that Supergirl is pretty hot.
Dude, Supergirl is like the best part of that movie.
She might be, but she's in like a leotard the whole time.
Skin tight. Like I was looking at that. I was like, you know, Supergirl ain't looking too bad. Let's see the Supergirl. Everyone's all mad about that, but I'm like,
let's put it that way.
But you know, just to wrap it up with this, like, It used to be from an era where like story mattered, and you know, you're supposed to, the hero's journey, we will just drive it into the ground until the end of time. The hero's journey is in all big epic stories and even minor stories, you know, just it's in good stories for a reason. And it's because it connects to us on a basic natural level as humans. And when you bypass that and insult it and do all these things, this wasn't an example of like the victim's journey. It didn't, you know, for the most part, it didn't have any wokeness in it. That's the one thing I'll give this film. It could have had it, but it didn't. But what it is
like, there was only one line where there was that thing in the beginning where they had Wonder Woman, and it was very subtle.
Oh my God.
They had the thing wrapped around him, and Ezra Miller was like, "Oh my God, I can't handle how hot you are," or whatever. And Batman's like, "I should have just given all my money away instead of fighting crime." I'm like, "What?" Yeah. That's what you're right. That's what everybody needs. A one-time check from a billionaire. That's exactly. That would solve everything. Fuck.
Thanks, Bill Gates.
That was so stupid.
But that was it. But it's like, you know, this movie doesn't even try. This movie forgets why people like these characters. This movie doesn't care. And it feels like it was written by ChatGPT. That's how it feels. Like, it's just
ChatGPT. Write me a superhero movie involving time travel, The Flash, Michael Keaton Batman, and every Superman ever made.
Yeah, go. It ignores all of that. This is a bad movie. Like, this is it. Go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 if it's still in theaters. Go see Across the Spider-Verse 2-3 more times. Like, this movie deserves to fail. I'm so glad that not only I sold all my stock in AT&T, which still taints the shit to begin with, but that I also sold all my Warner Brothers Discovery stock after the AT&T Warner Brothers Discovery split. Because even though they're trying to salvage themselves with, you know, canceling Batgirl and doing all this other stuff, even though I think that at the top they have good intentions, they still lied to us. And I get it. They knew they were going to lose money. They had to do this to not lose hundreds of millions of dollars. But for fuck's sake, stop giving us Ezra Miller.
Well, I think we're going to get that, because if there's anything that could have salvaged his career in any way, because they're trying to sort of dust him off a little bit. They're trying to give him would be if this movie was a huge hit. You know, maybe they could justify it. But now I don't think there's any chance we see him again. I also don't get, again, how this reboots the universe. I was expecting, okay, obviously they added some ending that shows us like that we're rebooting the universe. That's bullshit. James Gunn just made that up. Unless we're supposed to think that the new universe is the one with this Flash and George Clooney Batman. I don't think George Clooney Batman is going to... I mean, it would make sense for them to have an older Batman in The Brave and the Bold if what they're doing is a Batman
Gunn himself thing. Said it won't be Clooney.
No, and so how is this reboot the universe? That's just like, remember George Clooney? And I'm fine. Like I said, literally it was my favorite scene in the movie was that part. Because A, it did actually surprise me, and I enjoyed Ezra Miller's what the fuck are you reaction. That was the best part of the movie for me. Yeah.
Well, that post credit though felt like they filmed it. Like,
I didn't I'll tell you.
The guy that was in his
theater, Asian theater, filming it didn't. He's like, I'm not waiting around for that.
It's the Flash quickly recapping the movie to a drunk Aquaman. That's it. It's a minute long and it's bad.
The only change from him moving the tomatoes were that his dad got off of the crime, and also that George Clooney is Batman, and everything else is just the same.
And it won't make sense for anything else too. Like, I think if this movie is doomed, then Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom is fucked, because they filmed it with two different Batmans. They had Ben Affleck and they had Michael Keaton. First, Michael Keaton, because he was going to be the Batman from now on.
Yeah, he was going to appear. He was originally going to appear at the end and then just be Batman going forward in the back. Yeah. Before they did the whole James Gunn reboot thing, he was going to be the Batman in that Batgirl movie and then in this Aquaman.
Yeah. Then, so they kill Batgirl. They scrap that film into the heap of history, and then they filmed Keaton in Aquaman, but then they scrapped it, but they still need a Batman in it, so they brought back Ben Affleck. And I'm sorry, Ben Affleck, I feel weird saying, you know, I'm sorry, I feel bad for like Hollywood movie stars, but like I've been saying this since the end of Zack Snyder's Justice League. At the end of the movie, the part where they film it with Martian Manhunter, if you look at Michael Keaton, if you look at Ben Affleck, he looks really fucking different than he does in the entire film. He looks skinny. He looks old. Like, he's just phoning it in.
Well, it was shot at a different time of year too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, they shot it years later.
Yeah. Right.
Years later. Right. Yeah. Like, he was done with Batman at that point. He filmed that. That's Zack Snyder's house. They filmed it on his driveway.
He was outside smoking a cigarette. Affleck was when he got that call. You know that the Affleck meme?
Yeah.
It's like my favorite meme in the world. The frustrated Affleck meme.
I feel Affleck on an emotional level. So like too. not only would we be friends, to be honest, in another world,
where he would interact with people like us.
But like that that scene where he's talking Barry out of going back in time, like he looks so different and not in like a good way. Like he's just given up and they've tried to inflate him. Like
he looks like just, in the meme when he's smoking, he looks like over it. He's like, oh, Barry, do you really want to go back in time?
like that's how I feel. So like I almost think that they should just one, either give Affleck his money, because Keaton doesn't give a fuck at this point. Keaton does not give a fuck. No. And Affleck, for him to go back and have to redo that, it's like the one thing that was my first thought out of this movie was this should have just been a solo Ben Affleck Batman movie.
That's your thought about the Flash movie?
Yeah, it should have just been a solo Ben Affleck Batman movie. They should have just given Affleck
movie,
again.
That's just
yeah, a different just movie. They, all the effort that they put towards this, they should have put towards that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
No whiny Pattinson or any of that shit. Just that.
Give me an Elseworlds Dark Knight Returns with fucking Batfleck. I mean, we kind of got a taste of that with BVS, but give me that for real, you know?
Yeah.
Give me something. Give me anything. Don't give me this. I wanted...
Yeah, the next two movies are just so doomed.
I wanted to like this movie in every way. I really did. I really wanted to like it. And I didn't like it. My initial reaction to your reaction was just like, Remso's being such a blowhard here. I'm just going to run the counter narrative here. The more I talk about it, the more I think about it. It actually does make me angrier because movies like Wonder Woman 1984, it's not a better movie, but I might actually rather watch that again if I'm going to pick one because it's not going to make me angry. I did get pretty angry watching that movie because I spent 30 minutes with what's that guy's name? Chris whatever. I get all these fucking curses confused. Chris Pine just learning about the 80s for 30 minutes. I didn't need that, but still that might entertain me now more than like I can't even imagine rewatching The Flash. That's not even on the table of possibilities, you know. At least I could say, like you have been saying for years since this happened, at least I can say Wonder Woman 84 has Gal Gadot for 2 hours. So, you know, okay, there's that.
I mean, even Birds of Prey, like that is not a bad movie. I did a Remso versus the DCEU episode talking about Birds of Prey. I was like, it was kind of irrelevant. I feel like they should have done it on a smaller budget, but like it, you know, it's smoking aces. It's smoking aces with chicks. And I like smoking aces. And I like chicks. So I'll watch this.
It's like, that works.
Yeah, it's like it's not a bad movie. It wasn't like outwardly offensive. It's rewatchable. This is not rewatchable.
No, although honestly, if I stumbled upon this review of it from us, and I was a random fan, like I was me. If I was me and I was listening to us, I would be intrigued enough by this conversation to go watch it. But that's because I'm sick and I'd like to see things.
Like they have, I feel like it has like, you know, Mystery Science Theater potential to it. Or like one of those things where it's like they're doing live commentary during the movie, making fun of it. Like
maybe that's what we should do. Maybe you and I should live Mystery Science Theater this fucking thing for our patrons.
I think we'll get taken down. But
well, yeah, it would have to be in a different format of some kind.
Behind a very big paywall.
Yeah. The largest of paywalls. All right, so one thing I want to kind of touch on before we wrap up, we were thinking about talking about some other stuff, but I think we're just going to keep it to this topic because I want to look at the bigger picture here. And what does this tell you about the future of superhero movies? Now, James Gunn has even said he doesn't think there's the problem is a glut of superhero movies. He thinks the problem is a glut of movies that are doing the same things over and over and over, which. Like I'm still willing to give James Gunn a chance in the sense that I generally have enjoyed his films. I mean, Guardians 3 is one of the best superhero movies I've seen, and all his Guardians movies are great. And I love his Suicide Squad. So I mean, I'm certainly willing to give him a chance what he does with the screenwriting and what he does. But what I really don't appreciate is this little fucking nerd with the stupid glasses making this video telling me how this movie reboots the fucking universe and sets.
I don't
the stage
trust him. This movie makes me not trust him even.
Exactly. Because I trusted him more as a writer and director, and hopefully he will still do good work in that realm. But now he's a suit, and now he has to say corporate things to satisfy corporate people, and I don't like that. but it's reality, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think this means for like the future of the superhero genre? Because I think Marvel is seeing the same thing. They're seeing massive, you know, they're already canceling a bunch of Disney Plus projects. They've pushed Echo off like indefinitely. Do you think their writing is on the wall for the superhero genre in general, at least in the way that we've seen it the last 5 years, where it's like you can't go a month without a new superhero movie?
Yeah, I mean, I've lost track. I mean, I didn't watch any of the DC HBO shows like Doom Patrol or Titans in the last few seasons. I haven't even watched Harley Quinn. I've done watching Superman and Lois. Like, you're talking to a person that like 10 years ago, I would watch everything and I would see it twice. And that's just impossible now. And the quality is so skewed that, you know, I tend to agree with Chuck Dixon, who went on and basically said that the superhero movie genre is dead. And he got a lot of heat for that for some people. And some people really believe him. And I think
that's who we should interview next. Chuck Dixon, who you and I have both interviewed in our previous lives.
We should absolutely bring him on. We should bring Brett Smith on too.
Yeah.
They worked together on the Clinton Cash graphic novel. Mm-hmm. But like, and Brett worked at DC. Like, Brett was there during the New 52 era. Like,
Brett actually just had a great interview with a mutual friend of ours, Brian McWilliams, over on his show, Mean Age Daydream, over on the old Lions of Liberty Network, which used to feature me.
Yeah. And I think Brett also kind of agreed with Chuck that, you know, it's like we're in a phase in which like Westerns were a thing and then Westerns weren't. And then horror movies and action movies were a thing. And then they kind of go in phases. I think the superhero genre, or I just say the comic book genre as a whole, like it needs to pump the brakes because like we used to have comedies. Like, remember comedies, like legit comedies? And now it's like superhero movies have turned into comedies. Seth Rogen actually said that. He's like, it's impossible to put out a regular comedy these days. And I don't like Seth Rogen, but I agree with that. Like, you don't get that anymore. A lot of really good movies are just not getting any of the marketing budget. They're still getting a good amount of budget to make the movie, but the marketing budget is all being put towards the superhero stuff. The Last Duel by Ridley Scott came out about a year and a half ago. And that movie had Matt Damon, Adam Driver, Ben Affleck. Like, it had a good fucking cast. It was a good fucking story. And I watched that. And I watched it on a whim on HBO. And I was like, I'll just watch it. And like, The Last Duel was a good fucking movie. And Ridley Scott said it would have done well if it got at least half the budget of any superhero movie. And it's like, I get that. Like, I almost wish just good standalone movies were coming out more. And they're still coming out, mostly direct to DVD or streaming these days. But like, they are just getting just sucked down. I would rather have less superhero movies if the quality was better. And that's what it comes down to. It's not about more or less of this. And this is where I agree with James Gunn. If you put out good stuff, like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, made me feel like how I used to watch Phase 1 movies in theaters. It was so refreshingly good. And then you get stuff like Across the Spider-Verse, which people could say what they want about Sony, and I've certainly criticized Sony, but Across the Spider-Verse is the best animated film that's ever been made, bar none. So it's like if you give
not people, a Shrek guy, Remzo? funny, Shrek's a good movie.
It's a good movie, but like animation style, like it's just like if you give good shit, you will be rewarded for that. I don't know why people think, oh, if we put good shit out, people won't like it. It's like, no, that really doesn't happen, at least for the big movies. I think the only studio that puts out good original content on a budget is A2A. They do all those like indie horror movies. I saw like The Green Knight a couple years ago. That was really good. It's like, you know, there's room for all these things, but like even if it gains a cult following later and you make more money in like download sales and everything else in box office, like you're still getting your money back. This movie's going to punish them because they're not getting anything back. So I agree with Chuck Dixon. I think that the era in which it's going to be out every single day, there's something brand new and billions of dollars, I think that ends. But I think we get rewarded with better quality movies long term. I hope so. I think the wokeness stuff, we've seen it with Disney Pixar has had 5 box office bombs. Their recent movie Elementals has made like a few million dollars. Buzz Lightyear fucking bombed, Strange New Worlds fucking bombed. When Pixar movies can't make money, that's fucked up. And you've got Illumination, which came out with the Despicable Me films and, you know, Bad Guys and Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers is still one of the most profitable movies of 2023. Like, and now they're going to do Legend of Zelda and all this other stuff. I'm hoping for a Metroid movie. Like, people want just good shit.
It's the next logical step in nostalgia. Like, all right, we've already like uncovered all the comic books that these guys read when they were younger. Cause now they're really targeting my generation, like the 40-year-olds who consumed this stuff 20, 30 years ago, who have money now. In theory, doesn't necessarily apply to all of us. Yeah. But in theory, we all have a ton of money to spend. And so they're going to cater towards us. So now they've exhausted the superhero stuff. So now they're saying, hey, remember those video games you used to play as a kid? Oh, wait, bonus, your kid wants to see this too. And it works. And it was good. I'm not complaining. Yeah, no, yeah. It's smart. I think what they're, so maybe it's not just superhero movies. Cause like you said, like this is happening with the Pixar stuff as well. I think it's in many ways, it's the movie industry overall. Like a lot of movies, I don't think the movie industry is going away, but it's going to change drastically because like movie theaters are not as profitable. And a lot of movies, especially like what we're seeing in the superhero movies, is that they're not licenses to print money anymore. We can't just make this and everyone's going to go see it. The movie theater experience is not what it used to be. It used to be the place you had to go to see a movie or you weren't going to see it for 9 months. There was no other option. You were not going to see that fucking movie if you didn't see it in the 3 or 4 weeks it was in the theater. Now it's like, all right, we had this era where we didn't go to theaters and we started doing learn. And look, we have nicer TVs now. Like the home experience is totally different than it was 20, 30 years ago. You know, people have these giant TVs, like watching a movie at my house is, yes, it's not, of course, it's not as awesome as being in the theater, but guess what? I can pause. I can go to the fucking bathroom. I think that the people got a taste of that. It's like you're going to have to really be special to drag me and the whole family to a movie because now, especially with the prices, it drives me crazy when they do break new record, break new record, break new record. It's like, no, your numbers are going down and cost of tickets are going up. So you're breaking new records because your tickets are so much higher. But if you look at the numbers, way less people are going to the movies, far less people. So yeah. I think the only way to make movies is to make a profit is to be more selective in these movies. These companies have to realize they can't just make every superhero idea that comes to their mind, vomit it all out, and think that they're going to make money on that. Because those days have passed.
Yeah, and I mean, just we've got a few minutes left, but we're skipping a big factor, a dependence on the Chinese market. Like China is the reason why we have so many fucking Transformers movies for one.
China.
But we have just basically said it doesn't matter if a movie bombs in the U.S. We have China and the fact that just by law of averages, enough people will go see it. Well, China is getting sick of American movies. China is producing their own movies.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, they will just basically say, hey, you know, Black
Adam. Steel Man. Welcome, Steel Man.
Have you seen Wolf Warrior?
Captain China.
What? Have you seen Wolf Warrior?
No.
Wolf Warrior is an action trilogy. It's basically like the Chinese Rambo. It is one of the best action movies I've seen in a long time. And it is all Chinese communist propaganda, but it's a good fucking movie. Frank Grillo is the bad guy in Wolf Warrior 2, and it is a good movie, but it's 100% Chinese propaganda. But that actually outgrossed a majority of the movies that came out internationally in like 2018, 2019. That's saying something. I mean, Black Adam failed because it knew that it would not be a big success in the United States, but it would have done well in China. So when China took out Black Adam from the approval slate the week before it came out, they were aggressively putting money into marketing the week of the release. And that's why they were like, well, you know, we could still make up money here and everything else and balance this out. It's like, no, you lost the Chinese market. Your movie's going to fail. So I think you got to focus on where your strength is. Even Bollywood movies. I'm seeing a lot of Bollywood movies on Netflix. There are a lot of good like Indian action movies I've seen. Like I saw like an Indian Die Hard with my father like months ago. Like that was a good freaking movie. Like Hollywood isn't Hollywood anymore.
We need a live action Bollywood version of Pabota Prabhakar.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That's what we need. All right. Well, Remzo, I think that does it for this week. I think people get the general point that this is not a good film.
Don't spend money on this movie.
Don't spend money. Do what I did, which I wouldn't encourage anyone to do. And I don't even know what that thing is. But if you can figure it
whatever
out,
whatever it is.
yeah, it didn't cost me much. That being said, you know, is there anything you're looking forward to on the horizon? Besides, you know, we know the deal with Modern Comics.
I am going to go watch Barbie and Oppenheimer back to back in July.
That sounds like a double feature to me.
Yeah, that was a deal with my wife. We'll go see Barbie and then we will go watch Oppenheimer.
I might make the same deal because my wife wants to see Barbie. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing it either. Yeah,
me either. I mean, it looks fun.
Get a couple of gummies or something. It'll be a good time.
it's got Will Ferrell. That's all I need. It's got Margot Robbie. There you go.
What more do we need?
Even Ryan Gosling looks hilarious.
They're already offering me a lot more than The Flash offered me. So
yeah. Yeah. So Barbie and Oppenheimer back to back.
All right. Well, next week we shall be returning with an episode featuring one of our Kirby Club producers who's going to send us on a little journey of his own next week. And of course, you too can be a producer of this program. You can join our Patreon at the Kirby Club level, which I believe is what, $50 a month? I'm so bad.
$50 a month.
I'm the worst promoter in the world. I don't even know what our rate. I don't know. Go check it out. All right. We put it on a website for a reason because I don't want to have to remember it. Point is patreon.com/secondprintpod. You can be a producer of the show. You can get free hardcovers sent to you every few months by Remzo and I. You can jump in the fan zone, become our friends, or at least we'll pretend we like you. I mean, there's really
some of you are tolerable.
No, yeah. Well, if you're tolerable, we'll pretend to like you. That's the SBC promise. Remzo, would you like to sign us off? You're better.
Folks, as always, it's short, it's sweet, it's simple. Name your firstborn child, your dog, and your car after this long, long, lovely phrase. It's read comics and change the world. Good night, America.
Adios.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.